And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from UBS Radio, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, call us today at 941-877-1552. Or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Susie Quatro is an internationally renowned Renaissance woman. Although most of her extraordinary achievements in the arts were celebrated outside the U.S., she has left a momentous impression as the original first lady of rock and roll. The leather-clad, bass guitar-slinging Motor City rock and roll queen, Quatro, first gained notoriety in the early 60s, playing venues around Detroit in an all-female garage rock band called the Pleasure Seekers. Her sister, Arlene, became the band's piano player, and Susie's older sister, Patty Quatro, their guitarist. Patty would later become epitomized as a member for yet another all-girl rock sensation, Fanny. The Pleasure Seekers shared the limelight in those early days with future rock legends Bob Seger, Grand Funk Railroad, Ted Nugent, Alice Cooper, and many other acts. In 1965, the Pleasure Seekers recorded two singles, Never Thought You'd Leave Me and What a Way to Die. In 1968, Mercury Records signed the Pleasure Seekers to a recording contract, and the band began touring extensively throughout the U.S. and internationally. Also that year, the band toured with Eric Burdon and the Animals. With the music scene rapidly changing into heavier album rock format, FM radio, the band quickly shifted gears. They formed a new band called Cradle, which spotlighted the sensational vocalizations of Susie and Nancy Quatro. Cradle became an incredible psychedelic-slash-hard rock act that toured with groups like the Jefferson Airplane, Jeff Beck, Santana, 10 Years After, Traffic, Mountain, and numerous other bands. The band broke up in 1973. Susie Quatro's vivacious performances in Cradle caught the attention of legendary British producer Mickey Most. Mickey Most recognized with producing the Animals, Herman's Hermits, the Jeff Beck Group, Donovan, Hot Chocolate, and Lulu. In 1971, Quatro moved to England permanently and signed onto Most's label, Rack Records. Her first single was called Rolling Stone, number one hit in Portugal, and featured Peter Frampton from Humble Pie Guitars, Mickey Waller from the Jeff Beck Group on drums, and Errol Brown from Hot Chocolate on backup vocals. After modest success from her debut single, Most brought in the songwriting and production team of Nicky Chinn and Mike Chapman. Quatro immediately hit the road on a UK tour supporting the bands Thin Lizzy and headliners Slade. Susie Quatro's second single, Can the Can, became a number one hit in Europe and Australia in 1973. Quatro followed with a string of hits, 48 Crash, Daytona Demon, and Devil Gate Drive. Each sold over a million copies. Quatro supported Alice Cooper on his Welcome to My Nightmare tour in 1975, but couldn't duplicate the notoriety she earned in the UK and Australia. But in 1979, Susie scored big in the U.S. with the hit Stumbling In, number four on Billboard's Hot 100. Chinn, Chapman, Penn composition performed as a duo with Chris Norman from Smokey. Susie Quatro became a household name in the U.S. as Leather Tuscadero on the hit television sitcom Happy Days. Leather was the leader of an all-girl band called Leather Tuscadero and the Suedes. Her sister in the series was Pinky Tuscadero, former girlfriend of the Fonz. Gary Marshall offered her an audition after seeing a picture of Susie on his daughter's bedroom wall. In 2005, Quatro was featured in a documentary film called Naked Under Leather, illustrating her life and much-esteemed career. Also that year, she recorded a tribute song, Singing with Angels, dedicated to her lifetime idol, Elvis Presley, at Emerald Studios in Nashville with Presley's original backup singers, the Jordanaires. Quatro released her self-written autobiography, Unzipped, in 2007. In 2010, Quatro was inducted into the Michigan Rock and Roll Legends Online Hall of Fame. Quatro released her 15th studio album, In the Spotlight, also in 2011. Susie Quatro has sold over 50 million records and helped pave the way for generations of women rockers. Some of the women inspired by Quatro are Joan Jett, The Runaways, Pat Benatar, and Deborah Harry, to name just a few. Let's hope the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame realizes that, too. And just think, it all began when her father gave her a 1957 Fender Precision, her first bass guitar, which she still plays today. Recently, Quatro performed at the third Remember the Child Dick Wagner Memorial Fund concert at the Motor City Soundboard. Proceeds went to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals, which include Beaumont's Children's Hospital and Flint's Hurley Children's Hospital, providing music therapy and music instruction to hospitalized children. Wagner's old friend Mark Farner, who rocketed to fame with Flint's Grand Funk Railroad, headlined the roster of talent, along with Susie Quatro and the Pleasure Seekers. Susie also recently finished a very successful 19-date, 32nd tour in Australia and even sold out the Opera House. Susie celebrates over 53 years of performing and eloquently states, "I will retire when I go on stage, shake my ass, and there is silence." Please welcome singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, actress, author, and rock and roll heroine, Susie Quatro, to the show. Hello, Susie.
Well, that's what you call an introduction.
Well, we're done
and
now. Goodbye.
And one thing you didn't mention, you know, I'm now Dr. Quatro. You know that, don't you?
I was going to mention that. I got to say some things for the interview, you know. I did know that, and we're going to talk about a lot of new stuff that popped up. Yeah, last time we chatted, you had broken your knee and wrist while stepping on a flight of steel stairs at the at the airport.
Correct. I was actually on my way home from a gig in Kiev, and getting onto the airplane, instead of rolling to Baghdad, all of a sudden had us down those, you know how sometimes they take you down the steel steps, which is dangerous. And I fell. I broke my right knee, left wrist, and I was on a walker and out of commission for about 5 months because not only did I break opposite sides of bones, but they misdiagnosed me when I got to England. They casted my leg wrong, which meant 2 weeks after the initial casting, they had to cut me open and re-break it. So it was really bad. Really bad.
That's horrible. Did everything heal okay? Are you okay now? Or?
Oh, I'm doing yoga. I'm jogging. I do everything I have to do. But it prevented me from going and headlining the show in Detroit where I was getting my Lifetime Achievement Award, you know. But I couldn't get off the couch. I couldn't not only go to Detroit, I couldn't get off the couch, you know. So it was a bad time. It was really bad, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been your first time back in a long time, back to Michigan,
yes,
too, I think.
Yes, right? What a drag for that to happen. But I have since played it. I played it the following year, and I've done, like you said, the charity concert, and I was in Texas and Austin when I got the Woman of Valor Award. I played some songs there. So, yeah, I've been back there now. But I need to do a tour.
That's right. We miss you here.
I know. I miss it. I would love to tour America again, you know. I need to do it.
You got a lot of fans here that really need you right now.
I know, and I need it.
Time.
They need me, and I need them. There you go.
That's right. Well, let's catch up. Our last interview was in 2012. We did a Skype interview, which was a lot of fun. Let's talk about the supergroup, QSP, which is Andy Scott from Sweet and Don Powell from Slade, which is probably one of the most underrated bands in history. I love Slade.
It's a new super group.
Right.
It was my husband's idea about 15 years ago, and we're all busy, and then a couple years ago it all made sense to do it, and we went in the studio, we did half covers, half originals. The originals are beyond brilliant, I have to say, and we all play together like we have played together forever. I don't know how this happened, but it did. I guess we're from the same ballpark, you know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And on my last Australian tour, which I just finished in March, my husband had the idea to let the supergroup be the opening act. So I opened for myself, which is unbelievable. I did 27 songs a night in total. That's ridiculous. Anyway, saying that, it went a storm, and we got the album into the charts at number 20.
That's right. I did read that.
It's fantastic. How fantastic is that?
That's awesome. And it was released on Sony, and it's available now, I believe, on Amazon. I think I saw it on Amazon.
And we're now doing the deal to get it released worldwide, because what we did was we only gave it to Sony for the Australian and Asian market, just for the tour. We wanted to see what legs it had, if it was going to be successful, and indeed it was. So now we're releasing worldwide.
Yeah, so now it's like an import right now. You can buy it as an import.
Right now it's an import. It will soon be available. Yeah. But, I mean, it's worth getting. It's just I'm really proud of the album. It's just terrific. I've never sung so good in my life, and everybody has commented on it, which I don't understand, and I don't want to question. Usually the voice goes down as you get older.
Right, right.
And for some reason, my voice has gotten better. I don't get it. I don't know how this happened.
Well, only the greats... Only the greats, their voice gets better. You know what I mean? That's what I understand. Only the
I'm
legends.
Singing better than I've ever sung, and I just don't understand it. 27 songs a night. I never had 1 millimeter of problems with my voice.
That's amazing.
But that's
we can't
a lot
wait.
Of singing.
That is a lot of singing, and especially when you're opening up for yourself. You know, that's
exactly.
not easy to do.
So I went out of Susie, the bass player, singer, and then I came back out of Susie Quattro, singer.
So
only
now,
a Gemini can do that.
exactly. That we're really hoping, I guess maybe this album might kick you into a U.S. tour. Is that possible, or just the European tour?
I think that just might happen. Fingers crossed.
That would be awesome.
Oh, by the way, I must mention 2 things that you didn't mention. I don't know if you know or not. I have a poetry book that's been released worldwide.
Yes, I was going to talk about
that. Yeah,
I got you covered.
And then I've just completed my first novel. It's due out in June. You can Google it. It's called The Hurricane. It's fiction, and it's due out soon. And I tell you what, it's going to be a whole series because there's a sequel already in it, you know. So I'm one of these busy people.
This is exciting. A fiction book. I always, you know, I'm also an author. You've got my book. We exchanged books last time.
I do.
And I would love to write fiction as well. But, you know, a book is not easy. It takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of your life. You know, you're engulfed.
It takes a lot of commitment.
Exactly. So do you have a hint of what it's about? Can we have a hint?
You know, I was told by a friend of mine, bless her, she's not with us anymore, Jackie Collins.
Okay.
And she said to me, if you're going to write fiction, just start with what you know.
Right.
And then go from there and have fun. So I started with a rock and roll chick, you know?
Yep.
She's a guitar player, but she's an only child, and I kind of went with that. And it's post-Susie Quattro, so it's not the groundbreaking one, it's the one afterwards, so it's not real weird, but it's still a little bit weird. And I just started to create, and her name is Allison Hart, and she's from Cleveland.
That's
and
a great
she
name.
Has a life.
Yeah,
it's
great
good.
Name.
And the book is called The Hurricane.
The Hurricane. And the release date again? What's the release date?
I think it's June 10th or something, but if you Google it, it's already on a lot of the bookshops lists.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So are you going to do a book tour and all that, or are you just going to...
I think so. I mean, I'm real proud of it, you know. I think it reads good. And it's nice because I created the characters, and then in the end, I was saying to Allison in my head, okay, what do you want to do next, you know?
And this is released, this is New Haven Publishing that has it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Correct. They do the poetry book, too.
Awesome. Now, you also have a 4-CD set that's been out a little bit, but it's incredible. The Girl
I'm
from Detroit
City. I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of that, The Girl from Detroit City.
This is the first ever career-spanning anthology from you.
It
right?
is. It's 4 CDs, 82 tracks, and it takes you right from my very first recordings right to the present day. And it's just a brilliantly, brilliantly put-together box set. I mean, I worked very hard with the record company, you know. We were hours and hours up in my Eagle room at home and looking through tapes and pictures. And so I got to say, we worked together on this, and they've done a beautiful job on it. It's a box set well worth having.
And this is celebrating 50 years. This was 50 years of the music industry, and this is also
in
available.
2014, on yeah, 2014. Yeah. It was 50 years. It's now 53. I'm still counting.
Well, you're still a young girl. You know what I mean? You still got what?
In
50
my
years
head,
left.
Yeah, in my head. And by the way, you know, shaking my ass in silence hasn't happened yet. I just want to make that clear.
Let me tell you, I watch all the latest YouTube videos. You still look awesome. You look fantastic. You really do.
It's all in the mind. I actually, the secret is I actually just don't give a shit. I actually don't. I never lie about my age. I'm quite happy to age how I age. I'm going to be 67 in June. I'm happy.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you're only getting better. That's for sure.
Thank you.
And of course, you're Dr. Quattro now. I'm bringing it up now. It was last year, October 19th, you were made honorary Doctor of Music, which is so cool. And you wore your cap and gown, right, at Cambridge?
Oh, unbelievable. And the thing about that was, isn't it just typical me, you know? I mean, I don't even have a high school diploma. And I'm a Doctor of Music. How great is that? just like being a 14-year-old girl, I'm going to play bass. You are, yes. You know, it's like it's always been me, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, that's your style.
Don't ever tell me what I can't do, because I guarantee you that's what I will do.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you got a lot of that probably from your dad, maybe?
Yeah, he taught me to be a professional musician. He always said, it's your job. And he said it to all of us, but I seem to really take it into my heart that if you don't go out there and give 300%, you got no business being on that stage. People are paying money to see you. And I took that really serious.
I'm going back to the book again. We had talked about writing your autobiography in our last interview on Zip.
Yes.
Which was a fantastic book. A really, really, you know, well written.
Thank you. I've been offered to do on Zip number 2 now, so I'm thinking
about
it.
Good. Yeah. And you mentioned to me every single phrase and punctuation mark was you. You wouldn't let them change a thing. I mean, did you do this now on the new novel also?
I did it with this too. I don't want anybody else's words, you know. I mean, I've been told by people who have known and loved me through the years that you can't tell me what to do, but you can suggest.
Right. Right.
So
I don't like people telling me what to do either. You know, like you said.
No, but I will listen. I will listen.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
Somebody gives you a good argument, you listen, take it on board. But mainly, I do what I want to.
So when you got the honorary doctor from a Doctor of Music in Cambridge, what was that like when you got up there on stage?
It was. I mean, I was in tears, you know. I lost it for a minute when I went to speak, because there I was standing on the stage with all these intellectuals, you know, getting all their... I just went, oh, my God. And then I did a speech. But it was very emotional for me, and something I'm very proud of. I take it serious. Yes, I've worked my entire life in the industry. But even though I think I deserve something like this because I've worked so hard, it's still unbelievable to get it.
Yes, it is. Well, congratulations, because you deserve it. You really do. Now, your poetry book, I want to tell everybody, it's called Through My Eyes, Poetry and Reminiscence. That's a hard word to say.
It is.
Which is now published worldwide on New Haven as well. It's a sensitive, soul-searching, and philosophical woman who's been pouring her heart out in poetry since she was 7 years old. Only no one's had the chance to read it until now. Through My Eyes is Susie Quattro's first collection of poetry. It is a collection that is candid, thought-provoking, revealing, and sometimes shocking. So talk about a little bit about the poetry book. I know you've written poetry since you were a kid, right?
I have. In fact, funny enough, I was just sitting in the kitchen with one of my old guitar players, Jamie Crompton, and a friend of mine, Shirley Roden, who I wrote my musical with and various album tracks. And I was just reading some of the book to them, the poetry book, and... they were in tears. They were in tears for the truth of it and for the fact that they could feel that it was about them personally,
wow.
Which is, I think what this book manages to achieve if it speaks to you. Because it is raw. It is naked.
Right.
It is absolutely naked. And it's honest, you know?
Yep.
And a lot of people I know, friends of mine, have asked me, is that about me? Is that about me? I don't tell anybody anything. But people are taking it on board, and I hope learning from it, because it's a pretty... I mean, my old guitar player, Jamie, just said to me, boy, that's a brave book that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word he used.
Do you turn some of your...
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, do you turn some of your poems into lyrics? Have you done that?
Yes, there's about three or four that ended up as songs, which I've illustrated. I've illustrated the poem and then how it turned to a verse for a song. There are some that I wanted to be songs that were only good as poems. So very often when I'm looking for inspiration, through the years, I would go back to my poems and I'd think, oh yeah, and then I take the idea, turn it into a song. So that happens too, but a lot of times poems are just poems. There's poems in there written that I have no idea how I wrote it or where the words came from. They're so very much unlike me, the way I speak, you know. But saying that, I do speak poetically many times, and whenever I've been around creative people, they'll say, oh, let me write that down. Oh, let me write that down. So whatever I do, it seems to connect. I'm a communicator.
Right. So am I. I also call myself a chameleon. No matter who you are, I fit right in with you. You know, I'm one of those people.
Well, that's being able to project what the person wants to see.
Right. Exactly. You can feel that person, and you turn yourself into...
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, like when I go out to a cold audience, you know, let's say I go out to a cold audience and I'm about to do my show, I can feel which part of my character they want. Maybe they want the cheeky part. Maybe they want the sex symbol. Maybe they want the this. And I can feel it.
That's a gift, I think.
That is a gift.
Not everybody has that. What was I going to say? I just had a senior moment here. Let's see.
I've got about 10 more minutes. Is that okay?
Okay. I wanted to stretch it out a little bit more if we can. Maybe a few more minutes after that. Is that possible?
I can give you 15.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right.
I love Joan Jett, but every time I watch Joan, I still see Susie Quattro.
I know. Bless her.
I mean,
we were talking about this today. I tell you what, let's just cut to the chase.
Okay.
she was my biggest fan, fact of life. That was her starting point, and there's nothing wrong with that. We all have starting points in our lives. Everybody has them. So she took the original Susie Quattro image and took it inside, swallowed it down, and put it out through Joan Jett. And she's done a great job. She's had a very successful career, and she's a million miles away from who I am now. So what she did was... she took the original and used it for herself. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a compliment, you know?
Right, right.
That's who she saw me and thought, hey, I'm like that.
Yeah.
Same as I saw Elvis, and I said, I'm like that. So she took that and regurgitated it, put it inside of herself, and it came out through her genes. Even though there's a lot of similarities, we really are quite a ways apart now.
But your music and Elvis's are different. You know, hers and yours are very similar. I mean,
I know. I guess she really loved that original image. She did. And that's what spoke to her. And that's what freed her to be the artist that she is. That image freed her to be who she is. And that is a big compliment.
I love your, you know, like your earlier stuff, you know, Daytona Demon, Glycerin Queen, which is my favorite.
Yeah, that's
track.
All good stuff.
Yeah,
yep.
The Wild One and Rock Hard and your cover of Glad All Over and Keep a Knockin'. I mean, that's you see all traces of Joan in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
but I think that she was more like the first album type of look, and maybe the second one too. But I think after that, when we got to Like Your Mom More, like, you know, that I think she went more punky with her image, you know. And more heavy with it, and I went more sort of entertainment with it.
Right. Well, you know, you could also go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, you also can claim fame to maybe one of the first punk chicks, you know, even though you're rock and roll, but you still have that, you know, that badass attitude. Where you could probably claim that as well, as far as one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did call me that. Yeah, the one thing that I'm not is glam, which they say somehow.
No. I never get that.
Oh, never been glam. I think it's only because I started having my hits at that time that I got sort of thrown into that same area, you know.
Yeah. Every interview you've done, like in Australia, they you know, superimpose glam rock queen.
My God, I had no makeup on, you know, it's like I was anything but glam. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I'm still here. Glam is gone, and I'm still here.
You're still here. You were invited to Graceland, and Elvis was on the phone with you, and you said no. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's pretty amazing. It was 1974, and I wasn't ready. I had only had a few hits, and I just went, oh my God, and I thought really I could do it again at another time when I felt a little bit more worthy. and I had no idea who was going to die, so I said no. I wasn't ready.
You were a little nervous maybe also to meet him?
I just wasn't ready. It just wasn't the right time.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to be more on an equal footing with him.
And then when he got did you meet him?
No, I didn't meet him. No, I never saw him.
Okay, but you talked to him on the phone.
If you read my book, you'll see all the Elvis epiphanies and the one-woman show I did on Zipped from the book.
Right.
I had like 7 epiphanies in it, you know, and there was more than that. But he's been as important to me as I've been to Joan.
And, you know, the weird thing, too, you got to part of Leather Tuscadero, and it was on the day that Elvis died, right?
Yeah, I was...
1977.
I'd been to the audition.
Yeah.
And I met everybody, and they said, go back to your hotel. We have to discuss you, and we'll call you. So I'm waiting in the hotel room. The TV was on. The phone rings. I pick it up. They tell me I've got it for 15 episodes, and I'm really excited. And it's exactly at that same moment the TV said, newsflash, the king is dead.
It's amazing.
So this is, you know, don't even go there. I can't even, it's too long of an interview then. But there are many, many, many epiphanies. He's been very important to my life, both for inspiration and just for coincidence.
Yeah. You were offered a spinoff, too, from Leather Tuscadero, and you turned that down, which might have been a good thing, actually, because then you might have been typecasted as that character, and you couldn't, you know, go on and do, like, other things that you're doing now, you know.
So yeah, that's exactly why I didn't want to do it. I'd given 3 years, you know, of that character, and that was enough, and I wanted to, you know, spread my wings, if you like. I didn't need to be Leather Tuscadero for the rest of my life, so
right.
I said
that
no.
That was probably a smart idea,
Yeah.
Then you would have gotten Robin Williams on the show as Mork, and, you know.
exactly.
But, you know, not going to Graceland also, the Beatles, it didn't work out very well either. They didn't know what to do when they came and met Elvis. They all kind of sat around. I think John was the only one that kind of, you know, kind of played music with them a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that meeting went very well. But I would have loved to have met him, but it wasn't that time. And I think if I had met him, I wouldn't have written Singing with Angels, which is a very important
song. Beautiful song. It is a beautiful
song. It's a very important song. I mean, it's played at funerals. Elvis imitators are doing it. It just was a song that had to be written. And if I had met him, it wouldn't have been the same.
I asked your permission a few years back to share your email with Cherie Curry and Lita Ford. Did you ever get a hold of them?
Yeah, we're all good friends.
Good. They were excited when they knew I interviewed you and that I had your email. So that was awesome.
We're in email all the time. Cherie has become quite a good friend.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, I like
them. Yeah,
they're all kind. They're all kind of my age, so I can identify.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A couple more questions. Mickey Most says he never found the rock and roll style he was looking for in you. He didn't know how to record you. No, he didn't.
Yeah. He knew who I was, but
Right.
He didn't know how to put it onto record. So he got us involved with other people, which was quite smart of him at the end of the day. You know, the fact that he was able to do that and put us with somebody else, you know, when I was his baby, you know.
And you wanted to be successful, you wanted to be Susie Quattro, which you did, and it all worked out.
Yeah, sure.
Sure,
that's all I could ever be is me, and I just wanted to be the natural thing that came to me, which was exactly who I still am now.
Yeah. That was an interesting relationship you had with Mickey.
Yeah, he's like a father figure to me. There's a song coming out on my documentary, which is due out hopefully this year, and it's a song I wrote for him called I Never Got to Say Goodbye. Beautiful, beautiful tribute, because we had had an argument and we weren't speaking for a few months, like what happens sometimes with people, and he died in the meantime. So it's such a beautiful song. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go in a minute. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll ask you one more question. How's that?
Okay.
All right, Susie, here's a question I ask everybody. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie Field of Dreams, to sing, collaborate, perform with anybody from the past or present, who would this be? Now, I probably already know the answer. It's probably going to be Elvis.
Well, I would say more than one. I'd say Elvis. I'd say Billie Holiday. Otis Redding. Yeah, Billie Holiday and Otis Redding. Those are my three people.
Awesome. That's a good answer.
I'd form a super group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to How's your brother Michael doing? You know, he does an awesome cover of "Court of the Crimson King." Nobody can do a cover
does.
Like Michael can.
No, he's good. He's good. I don't know. I don't think he's still playing anymore. But
he had his time.
Yeah, he had his time. Excellent. I'm going to have to nip out now, if that's okay.
Susie, that's fine. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
It's great talking to you again. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Come to America. You can purchase Susie Quatro's novel Unzipped. Susie tells her story of life behind the scenes and in the thick of it, working, partying, and rocking with other legendary figures such as Noddy Holder, Alice Cooper, and Iggy Pop. And Through My Eyes, second edition, Poetry and Reminiscence. Available now at Amazon.com. Also, QSP featuring Susie Quatro, Andy Scott from The Sweet, and Don Powell, drums from Slade, can be purchased at Amazon.com. And also purchase Susie Quatro's CD, The Girl from Detroit City, a 4-CD set, the first ever career-spanning anthology from the Queen of Rock and Roll, as she celebrates 50 years in the music industry. Also available at Amazon.com. Visit Susie Quatro's official website at www.susiequatro.com for all the latest news and concert dates. Susie's on Twitter. https://twitter.com/Susie_Quatro. Her official fan club, Facebook, www.facebook.com/Susie-Quatro-official-fan-club. Susie Quatro's official fan club on Facebook. Also, very special thanks to Doug and Don Newsom with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Join me bi-weekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of a Neglected American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to Be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C. Available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio, Station 1.